actually, in Pakistan, they are not the issues like in the West might be, definitely. Because the culture over there is so much homosocial. Like, you can hug a man in the street, you can hold the hand, you can walk with a man, that's fine. You can live with a man as a friend. It's completely fine in Pakistan. But if you're having a good sexual life, then you can create a much tolerated society.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Couples equality moves forward in Australia's Capital Territory and Canada's Alberta, but it's still a crime against nature in the U.S.'s Louisiana, and a Sydney Gay Games athlete takes new pride back to Pakistan. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 23, 2002. The Australian Labor Party government of the Australian Capital Territory this week took its first legislative step in what's planned to be omnibus law reform towards equal treatment for same-gender couples. Chief Minister John Stanhope introduced an amendment to the territory's Discrimination Act to change the phrase de facto spouse to domestic partner, with a definition inclusive of gay and lesbian relationships. The term marital status, a category protected from discrimination, would also be changed to relationship status to be more inclusive of same-gender partnerships. The ACT government is reviewing all the territory's laws towards amending them to the same end. Equality legislation is in process in several Australian states, all with Labor governments.
The government of the Canadian province of Alberta is about to introduce a bill to extend legal recognition to same-gender couples, among others, under more than 50 provincial statutes. Just a few years ago, that would have been unthinkable in this conservative stronghold, where the same government fought a gay employment discrimination case all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. But that court battle was lost, and it's only thanks to another court order that the government has now prepared its so-called Adult Interdependent Relationship Act. The bill would extend legal recognition not only to unmarried heterosexual couples and gay and lesbian partners, but also to cohabitants in committed non-sexual relationships, such as relatives or friends. It would not change the province's legal definition of spouse, and in announcing the bill, Justice Minister David Hancock emphasized that marriage is between a man and a woman, excluding all others, before going on to say, but the other relationships ought to have the responsibilities and access to the law. Some of the key areas include inheritance rights, health insurance coverage, and for Alberta's civil servants, spousal employment and pension benefits.
The Philippines Justice Secretary rejected a request for family visas to allow foreign diplomatic workers' domestic partners into the country, even when those partnerships have legal standing in the workers' home country. The legal ruling cited the definition of family under the Philippine Constitution and Family Code as not recognizing what it called homosexual relationship, and added that such relationships cannot be countenanced under Philippines laws for reasons of public policy. The issue was raised by the Philippine Department of Foreign Affairs after the revocation of a family visa issued for the partner of a lesbian director of the Asian Development Bank. Bank worker Chantal Yokmin Wong and her partner Susan Trask Lam had contracted a civil union in Vermont.
The United States' largest defense contractor, Lockheed Martin Corporation, told its 125,000 employees this week that it plans to extend health benefits to its gay and lesbian employees' same-gender partners, and that it has added sexual orientation as a category protected under its anti-discrimination policy. Lockheed directors had previously fought back a shareholder proposal to amend the anti-discrimination policy, helping it to earn the lowest possible employer rating from the Human Rights Campaign. A Lockheed spokesperson said the company hadn't changed the policy earlier because we felt we didn't need to list every single way our employees are different, but was acting now out of fears of losing employees to more gay-friendly competitors.
Also this week, the Board of Commissioners of Cook County, Illinois, followed in the footsteps of its largest city, Chicago, to approve the addition of gender identity as a category protected from discrimination under its human rights ordinance. The board voted 40-9 to prohibit discrimination against transgenders in employment, housing, public accommodations, and lending.
Yet oral and anal sex remain criminal acts in Louisiana, as a state appeals court panel ruled 2-1 to uphold the 200-year-old law. It's the latest round in a long-running and complex challenge to the so-called crime against nature law brought by the group LEGAL, Louisiana Electorate of Gays and Lesbians, with 9 individual gay and lesbian plaintiffs. The majority found that the law on its face applies to everyone and wrote that it does not single out gay men or lesbians for punishment, following an earlier Louisiana Supreme Court decision. The majority also found the penalty of fines, up to $2,000 and up to 5 years in prison, is commensurate with sentencing for other crimes, rejecting LEGAL's argument that it constitutes cruel, unusual, and excessive punishment.
The late Pim Fortuyn had hoped to become the Netherlands' first openly gay prime minister, but was assassinated shortly before the May elections. Suspect Volker van der Graaf, who'd maintained silence since his on-the-spot arrest, made a statement to a judge this week. The prosecutor told reporters that he has admitted that he purposefully shot Fortuyn dead. He had conceived this plan sometime earlier. This was no surprise, since the shooting occurred before numerous witnesses, but the prosecutor added the first indication of van der Graaf's possible motive, saying, "He saw in Fortuyn an increasing danger to, in particular, vulnerable sections of society. Van der Graaf saw no other way he could stop that danger than to kill Fortuyn." This was construed to refer to Fortuyn's position against immigration, held on the grounds that the Netherlands is full up and has poorly integrated its large influx of foreigners. Van der Graaf reportedly affirmed that he acted alone without anyone else's knowledge. He'll be undergoing psychiatric testing and is expected to face trial in the coming year.
Hobart, the capital city of the Australian state of Tasmania, has its first openly gay city council member with the election of Matt Hinz. Hinz ascends as the state's first openly gay local elective officeholder. Councillor for Juan Paul Thomas is retiring from his post. Tasmanian gays and lesbians also celebrated the electoral defeat of Launceston City Councillor George Brooks, a former member of the state's upper house and longtime vehement opponent of equality legislation.
3 longtime leaders of national gay and lesbian organizations have announced they'll be leaving their posts. In Britain, Stonewall Executive Director Angela Mason is stepping down after a decade of service. Her work has been widely honored, including the Queen naming her to the Order of the British Empire in 1999. She'll move on to directing the government's unit promoting equal treatment for women in the workplace. In a farewell address to the Stonewall Board, she said, "Things don't change. People change things."
In Canada, John Fisher has announced he'll be resigning in June from the executive directorship of EGAL, Equality for Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, a post he's held for 8 years. He cited a need to reconnect with friends and family and a desire to focus on international issues of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. EGAL will be restructuring to replace him with 3 staff positions. As EGAL President Kim Vance remarked, "We weren't even going to attempt to embark on a journey to find another John."
And in the U.S., the Washington Blade has confirmed that at the end of this year, Rich Toffel will be leaving the executive directorship of the National Log Cabin Republicans after 9 years. Toffel's exit was preceded by that of Log Cabin's public affairs director of 6 years, Ken Ivers, in August, to move into the private sector as a political consultant.
Italy's last king, Umberto II, was outed this week by Mexican journalist and cinematographer Manuel Avila Camacho. Camacho, himself the grandson of a former Mexican president, told Milenio magazine that he'd had a 3-year affair with Umberto during the king's exile in Portugal. The article ran with a photo showing the two embracing in the garden of Umberto's Cascais villa in Portugal.
A new exhibition at London's National Portrait Gallery documents the bisexuality of the great poet Lord Byron, featuring his numerous affairs with men as well as women. While there were rumors about Byron even in his own time, his publishers kept the documentary evidence away from biographers until now, according to Fiona McCarthy, author of a new biography and curator of the current exhibit. McCarthy believes Byron emigrated from England to Greece in 1816 specifically to avoid prosecution for homosexual acts. Britain's government is introducing legislation to reform its remaining discriminatory sex laws, which is expected to reach the floor of Parliament early in the coming year.
And finally, many public figures have denied rumors that they are gay, but few have done so as graciously as swimmer Ian Thorpe of Australia, winner of 3 gold and 2 silver medals at the 2000 Olympics. Thorpe's been dealing with such rumors since he was 17, according to his manager, David Flaskus, who said it really knocked him about when he first heard them, but he's 20 now. Thorpe himself responded to the rumors in an Australian national radio broadcast this week, following legal action against a pair of stalkers, apparently out to extort money from him. He admitted that, "I'm a little bit different to what most people would consider being an Australian male, and I have an interest in things most people don't label as being part of the macho male thing." Those interests include fashion. Thorpe has his own line of jewelry, which he modeled at Australian Fashion Week last year. But while Thorpe declared he isn't gay, he added that, "It's the most flattering thing that anyone can ever say, because if someone wants to label you or claim you as a part of a minority group, it means you must have some strengths in your character or in what you do."
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 23rd, 2002. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
A group of San Francisco activist artists bring us a new musical tribute to World AIDS Day later in the program. And coming up next, a gay Pakistani athlete glories in the Sydney Gay Games.
Say it, you're glad to be gay. Say it, you're happy that way. Say it, you're glad to be gay. Say it, you're happy.
Hi, this is Tom Robinson reminding you that you're either listening to, discovering for the first time, or tuned right in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine with Lucia Chappell and Greg Gordon.
The 2002 Gay Games in Sydney, Australia was much more than a sporting event for many of the international participants, some of whom came with little experience of out queer culture. For Imran Nafis Siddiqui of Pakistan, it was personally and politically energizing in ways he never expected. This Way Out correspondent Uma Kali Shakti recalls one profound moment at the opening ceremonies that Siddiqui was a part of and talks with him about what it means to be a gay man in Pakistan.
Welcome the athletes and participants of Sydney Gay Games 2002, and at a last minute dash and an act of love, the wonderful things that happen in the gay and lesbian community, this evening India and Pakistan have decided to march together.
I have the great pleasure and honour to have Imran Nafis Siddiqui, who's a human rights activist. He's also a filmmaker and involved in the theatre. And it's the first time out in the world. For those of you who were at the opening of the Gay Games or heard about it, Imran was one of the people who marched from Pakistan with the Indian group, and to much to the delight of all of us who were in the actual arena, and to people who've heard since then, from some of us it brought tears to our eyes. It was a very amazing thing for us to see. Welcome, Imran.
Thank you.
Imran, tell us a little bit firstly about yourself.
Well, I'm just a very normal person in Pakistan.
Yes.
And tell us about my coming out. I'm 32 years old, and I came out to my own self this year. And very hard for me. Actually, I keep on pushing myself throughout the life. Like, I have to live a very straight life. But actually, because of love in my life, I have to accept the reality that I'm gay, and I'm very proud now that I'm gay. I think this is the best part of mine, to see the reality of mine, and I see now the world is so beautiful for me, and everything has very different meaning for me. Everything is so beautiful.
And what do you see are the issues of being a queer person within living in Pakistan?
Actually, issues like homosexuality does exist in Pakistan. It's not like it doesn't exist over there. It exists
nowhere where it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but I think usually people say it like 10% of the populations are gay in the world. But I think it's just a hypothetical thing. But I think 50% of the Pakistani population is homosexuals or bisexual. Really, like it's really there's a very common practice, like at least in men. In Pakistan, I can't see about the women actually, because the women is generally very much suppressed in Pakistan, and they don't have much options. Like they don't have a right to choose a partner for their marriages even. So there are a lot of other issues. It's like and nobody's addressing the gay and lesbian issues as directly, but you know there's a huge number, there's large number of transgender UNX people over there. And there's a very large number of male sex worker in Pakistan. And there's there are some places like Bannu, and there are some other places in Pakistan. Those are famous. Like there's men always, like it's a pride for men to keep a boy with them also. So it's all, and the issues, I think, and actually in Pakistan, they are not the issues like in the West might be, definitely. Because the culture over there is so much homosocial, so much homosocial, like, you can hug a man in the street, you can hold the hand, you can walk with a man, that's fine. You can live with a man as a friend. It's completely fine in Pakistan. But there are a lot of different issues, like everybody has to get married. There's a lot of family pressure and the society pressure. If you don't marry over there, like people really like so much curious about like, why don't you marry? Like, are you an important person or the blah, 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 blah. And they have a lot of such things.
So for you, there are other issues around human rights that are greater than issues to do with being your sexuality, or is it part and parcel of the kinds of issues you have to fight for?
No, I can't. I'm not saying like sexuality is not the issue over there. I know like the people are not. Where I see like people are really not living a very healthy sexual life. Okay, like. There's a lot of sexual frustration in people. And what I believe, like, if you're having a good sexual life, then you can create a much tolerated society. And this is actually the message which I got from the roots, from my culture and the land of Pakistan. This is not just my own thing. I've seen the beauty of, like, to live a good sexual life over there in Pakistan, which exists there. But it's actually, there's a lot of politics involved, which really, it's, I think this politics of this whole world, which might be might be very much based on economics, but it rules our life so much. Like we don't have time to think of for our own selves. We are just becoming a product in this whole bigger world. So it's very much interconnected, all these issues.
I suppose for those of us who live outside of Pakistan, we see the huge worldwide anti-Arab, anti-Muslim feeling. We also, the way Pakistan is portrayed outside, it's seen as a country where human rights violations are happening massively all the time. So that for people within Pakistan who are activists and aware, they've been oppressed on so many different levels, survival level, that that in some ways the issues of sexuality is seen as one of privilege or not necessarily a priority. But for others of us, it's part and parcel of our lives, whatever we're fighting for. How would you perceive it?
Yeah, that's very fine, because like people are really striving over there for the food and for the very basic rights to live even. Okay, so definitely your sexuality thing, and you don't even have time to explore your own sexuality there. You are just living, actually. You are living as a product completely. So a product can't think of a sexuality.
Okay, the other thing I suppose I'd like to ask is, what is it like in Pakistan in terms of a gay rights movement? I was interested to hear that you are one of the first or a few people that speak out about issues around sexuality.
Actually, you know, with participation over here in the gay camps, I'm so much feeling empowered and so much full of energy. And I want to channelize this energy now going back to Pakistan. I want to really start a support group for gay and lesbians. over there. Actually, I know like there are hundreds of gay people over there and only know one lesbian couple in Pakistan. And those and this lesbian couple was here with the Pakistani team also. And I want to really start now at least a support group for gay and lesbian. I don't know, it might create a lot of safety problem for me. A lot of issues might create it. But I have to really see, I might do under the umbrella of sexual health or might be something, but I want to start that group over there.
The other thing that impressed us, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, was the fact that India and Pakistan, at least within the context of the gay world, marched together. Where did that impulse come from, and did you realize what a huge impact that was going to have?
When we all come from Pakistan, we were really looking for some other South Asian people, because in Pakistan we can't interact with Indian people. Now it's completely banned. We can't travel. We have completely, we were searching for Indian people, and we find some Indian people over there, and we decided on the very first day, let's march together, because you know, as a nations we have so much tensions together, but at least as a gay people we can love each other. And we really like when like from the Indian people, when they find us, they find like, okay, there's someone from the home. So it was for like, and we share each and everything so much. Then we decided to let's march together, let's make a statement. Like, might be that our nations have a lot of tensions, but as a gay people, we want to be together. So this was
an Bash.
Thank you.
Oh, we were so proud of you. Also, being Indo myself, it meant a lot to me.
Hungary. Iceland. India and Pakistan.
Gay Games athlete Imran Nafis Siddiqui was part of that joint Pakistani-Indian entrance at the opening ceremonies. He spoke with This Way Out correspondent Uma Kali Shakti in Sydney, Australia.
Brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother.
This is Essex Hemphill, reminding you that you've tuned into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine with Lucia Chappell and Greg Gordon.
Unfortunately, another World AIDS Day is upon us. Fortunately, the call to remember the dead and raise the consciousness of the living continues to inspire those who can best express it. HIV-positive songwriter Joe Wilson penned his personal experience into I Remember You, which has been recorded by jazz vocalist Jackie Naylor to promote the efforts of Artists Against AIDS San Francisco. Naylor will be performing I Remember You on World AIDS Day, December 1st, at several venues in the Bay Area, including Metropolitan Community Church in the Castro, as she does for you right now.
Can you hear me? Can you see? For every drop of rain that falls, I cry a tear for you. And when a sunrise smiles on me, my dark skies turn to blue. It's been 3 years, 6 months and 2 days since they took your life away. Someone may have forgotten, but I remember you.
I remember you.
sing this loud for you. And all the dreams I could never reach, I know you made this one come true. Can you hear me? Someone may have forgotten, but I remember you.
That was Jackie Naylor singing I Remember You. To learn more online about this World AIDS Day tribute, go to www.artistsagainstaids.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, Rex Walkner, and Uma Kali Shakti contributed program material. Thanks also to Joe Wilson and Michael Schembri. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Arcus Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. This Way Out is in serious trouble. To find out how you can help keep this program on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WRPI Troy, New York, CJSR Edmonton, Alberta, KXCI Tucson, Arizona, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.